June 28, 2015, study on General Pacific. Again, briefly, as you look back, the things that we had looked at, especially the definition of silo, of what it means, of how it's changed the meaning down through the course of time, and what we looked at, that Bynes and others define this word now to touch the chords of the human heart, that is, to sing, to celebrate with hymns of praise. And we looked at from the course of Ephesians 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, and verse 16. But there's other verses that teach as far as song or singing. We'll look at those this morning. I know Donnie once covered them in one of his lessons. But we'll look at some things that of what this meaning means and how those verses, if you will, fit that. And it simply means to make melody in your heart. Colossians talks about singing with grace in your heart, and those two verses are more or less identical, except for the things of one singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, the other making melody in your heart. We looked at the idea of an aid or an expedient versus that of an addition, and what that was. We looked at it from the standpoint, I know Larry dealt with it, from the standpoint of the Lord's Supper and other things that he covered. We looked at the specific of what was to be sung, the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We looked at the meaning that the psalms simply mean the book of psalms are a collection of psalms. And we do that today. Some books has words or psalms from the book of psalms. Hymns is simply a praise addressed to God or to celebrate. And spiritual psalms is descriptive of the psalms that we sing. In other words, it's specified. It eliminates all other types of psalms that you put in there. You don't come to worship and sing a country and western song or a hip song. It's just aspect of a spiritual song. It's sung. They're to be sung in accordance to whom God is. God is spirit. We worship Him in spirit and truth. Therefore, we sing spiritual songs. So those things are specified. And those songs are that which is revealed to us by the Spirit of God, okay? This Bible that we have, therefore we sing the psalms according to Spirit. We looked at the elements that must exist in our worship, not only in our song service, but in everything that we do when we come together as a collective, that they must be according to truth, must be according to understanding, and according to the Spirit, okay? That we understand what we're doing, we understand what truth is, and we do it by what the Spirit has revealed. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 talks about that. So we had looked at that. We looked at when God gives specific instructions, He expects His people to do precisely what He commands. And again, when God gives the general instructions that goes along with that command, He permits us to use our wisdom or common sense in fulfilling, if you will, a command, okay? The idea of it's not maybe a pitch pipe or a tuning fork or a song book or an overhead projector which projects the songs are just from memory. Any of those are allowed. Again, the idea of that command is being fulfilled. So we looked at that. We looked at certain requirements that our singing must meet. That the singing God asked from us is in the form of speaking, teaching, admonishing, giving thanks, confessing, and offering the fruit of our lips. Those requirements that must be there. And we looked at a piano or an instrument of music as a different kind of music other than those things that are required by God. And we looked at instruments cannot speak, teach, admonish, or give thanks. So whatever is involved in singing, it must meet those requirements that we are to teach and admonish one another. And an instrument can do that in no shape, form, or fashion. So we looked at this. And we looked at instrumental music in the Old Testament. Well, not merely an aid, it was a form of worship separate and apart from singing. That God allowed, if you will, or permitted, or gave authorization to in the Old Testament for praise to Him. But that did not carry over, as Larry had pointed out, into the New Testament. It was for that time period, during the time of Israel, the Israelites, and the law of Moses, when that was done away with as well, that form of worship was the music, the playing, what was done away with. We had looked at Ephesians 5 and verse 19, and again stresses, again, back up to verse 18, when Paul there says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This idea of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. In verses 19, 20, and 21, tells what that is to be filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit by speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay, and we understand these phrases that to speak, to fulfill the command to speak to one another. We understand that in fulfilling that command, there must be communication in at least two people or more, unless you're just talking to yourself. In that you cannot. But it has the idea of speaking to one another. This one another or yourself, some versions may use yourselves, is a plural pronoun. Okay? It involves two or more. And so we understand the application can be made when you look back at Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Paul says, there Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. So this speaking to yourselves, to one another, would involve that collection of Christians there at Ephesus, as well as Colossae, or to other churches at that time in a certain locale, that speaking to one another would involve at least that group there. Much like our singing and today will be with this group here. It involves each member here fulfilling that command, okay? It's not the idea that we're a quartet, let them sing up here, the four sing, the rest of us listen. It involves a command that we are to admonish each other, okay? It's not a spectator thing or an entertainment thing. It is a worship that is required of us. And so we understand that. When you look at Ephesians 5:19, again talking about speaking in one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. When you look at this item, we've had reference to that hits a plural pronoun, okay? If you look it up. One another yourself. It has reference to you're not singing along. When I come here, I am not singing along. Everyone is participating in a function. Okay? It's no solo or certain groups that stand out. It's a participation of a collective that is being done. And if you look at this and look it up, it talks about that it's a reflective pronoun. Now, some of you may know what that means. I didn't, so I look it up. And it simply has reference to that when I look in a mirror, my reflection is there. I see myself. And we understand that. Meaning that I'm the subject, but I'm also the object. You understand what I'm talking about? Hopefully I can explain it to you. I'm the subject. I'm singing. But I'm also the object of receiving from you your singing. So you're the subject, but you're the object. The idea of singing is a mutual action. What one does, the other does. So when I sing, I'm the subject of singing, and you're my object. Likewise, I'm your object, you're the subject. That's what a reflective pronoun is, and hopefully we can understand. It eliminates that just a certain few are to sing. It is a collective in which the command all is to participate in that singing. Whether you carry a tune or not has no reference to whatever this is. The idea that you're singing and making melody in your heart. You're the subject of that singing. We are the object, the others. It's like looking. What I throw out, you throw back. And that's the command of what singing is. It's kind of a reciprocal type thing. What goes out, if you will, comes back. So the speaking to one another is from each. What I speak, what I sing, is to all others in this room. What God sings is to all others in this room. And hopefully with that we understand that it's a plural type pronoun, speaking to yourselves or to one another. And the idea of this other stuff, that you are to love one another, would be what? It'd be the same thing. I would be the subject of extending love to Paul. Paul, in return, would be the object of that. At times, Paul would be the subject of that love. Larry may be the object of that love. To love one another. It's a mutual thing or something that we have in common. So we understand that speaking, teaching, and admonishing are actions that require a speaker and a hearer. It's not something I get up and saying here solo to you all. It's something that is reciprocal, that you receive and you give on that. And hopefully that, if you understand, that's what that verse is teaching. And again, making reference to, do I believe we need to make our singing as beautiful as possible? Yes, I think all of us would agree to that. But we're to sing to the best of our ability, okay? Therefore, whether you carry a tune or not, you're still singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. And the Lord understands that. Your salvation is not based upon whether you can sing all four parts to a song or whether you can carry a tune. Your salvation is based upon singing and making melody in your heart with, or grace in your heart to the Lord. And so that's how we edify, that it talks about here, making melody in your heart. When you look at Colossians 3 and verse 16, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it's a form of teaching. And it should be in such a way that when we do this, much like the Lord's Supper that Larry touched upon, it should be something when we observe these emblems of the Lord's Supper, that it is an encouragement to us here during this time to strive to be spiritual while we're here. That's the idea of this, that sacrifice it all. But these spiritual songs should encourage us and make us of a spiritual nature while we're here. And all acts of worship should produce this. Okay? But not only so, it should give us, sustain us during the course of a week. That this edification that we receive from one another, this reflective pronouns, that what we do and encourage, and it should be with us during the week as we wait to assemble again for the encouragement again through the singing of psalms and the Lord's word being taught. Should be a source of encouragement that helps us in our Christian life. And therefore, our assembly together, the importance of it, of what singing together accomplishes, what Donnie's preaching or other brethren's preaching during the course of the time that we hear accomplishes in our life. Because we're filled with the world and everywhere sin abounds. And even more so as the laws are being passed now that contradict God's law, the need for us to encourage one another, to speak to one another, to edify one another, to fight the good fight of faith. Anyone have any thoughts on this?
Yeah. You were talking about holding you. Says James 1 and verse beginning at 1:23, says, for if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
Reflect the pronoun. And again, when you look at what goes on in the world today, most of the domination is just set up for simply entertainment. They're there to be entertained. When you look, you get each week in the paper, certain groups are to be at certain places or certain speakers are to be at certain places. And it's simply set up that people sit and listen to be entertained. Worship is to be a place of action. It's something that we're all involved in, okay? I come each Lord's Day, Donnie does, Lowell does, to offer my very best to God. And again, and to you. And so that's done, if you will, through singing. Again, the things that are specified in singing in a worship service are what? Give us some thoughts.
Well, acts of worship still?
Just for our singing. Those things that are specified that God has told us must be done.
Teaching.
All right. Whatever we sing must be in the form of teaching. It has to be something that teaches. But teaches what?
Spiritual
things, okay. What else?
Your types of songs.
Singing
hymns. All right. Types of songs are specified. Okay. What else? That they admonish one another. Again, they have to meet certain criteria. It just does not just allow any type of song in a worship service. Okay? They must be vocal. That's specified. Okay? Singing. And you cannot, again, this idea of teaching, as mentioned, and admonishing, must be vocal. That's the only way that he can come about. As we look at some of these other verses, you understand it. What else?
Giving thanks.
Giving thanks.
To be sung and not played.
Be sung and not played.
The object is God.
The object is God. It's to be done through a collective. Not just one or two. But everyone who is assembled must like Ephesus to the saints which are at Ephesus. The command is given to the saints which are at London. Okay, so that includes everyone. It does not exclude any. Everyone is included in that. And anything else?
The same with understanding.
That's very understanding. If I don't understand what I'm saying, or singing, or the words, if you don't understand what I'm speaking, then there's no way that edification in our song service can take place. It's much like the teaching, that if we do not understand words and stuff in the Bible that's been touched upon, then we cannot understand God's Word. And much like that is our singing, okay? I want some expediencies in this.
Songbooks.
Songbooks, no way does away or modifies anything of that command.
Pitch pipe
that we use. If I say the pitch pipe is used to blow a certain note, that we may know where to begin, and that pitch pipe is placed aside, no longer used as you sing that song. And usually the pitch pipe is just for the person leading the song, that they may get the song right. Is it necessary? No. Is it required? You have to use a pitch pipe? No. But again, when you try to make your singing as good as you can, people do that.
And a song leader.
Y'all have to be agreed what you're going to sing. If Sue starts saying Amazing Grace and I start saying When the Roll is Calling Up Yonder, what's going to happen? You're going to have confusion. So things have got to be done orderly of the songs we sing. So you have to have someone guiding and choosing these songs that you're going to sing in praise to God that teaches and edifies and admonishes each other. So we understand that. So I hope you understand what is specified and what is not. Again, many people do not understand why anyone would discuss the use of instruments in the worship of the church. It's just been so long that it's almost a given in any way you look at it that music has always been. But it's not. Musical instrument. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a comment. You're talking about the word yourselves being a plural pronoun. You go over to James 5 and verse 13. We have here where it's talking to individuals. Is any among your 50 that pray, is any merit, let him sing songs.
Right.
So you've got your total difference there.
Good point. But again, this idea that music comes in our lives, I mean, that's all we've ever known growing up. But you know, music, when you look at history, it just simply tells you instruments was not, especially the organ, was not introduced into public worship until the 13th century. So you had, from the time that the church began in 33 A.D. to the 13th century, and music was never used, especially in the church. I mean, they were instruments of music. Instruments have been around for a long time. We look in the book of Genesis. The instruments were there. We looked at the law of Moses. That's the instruments were there. But again, the thing that stood out to me, that God specified in the Old Testament when to sing and when to play. You find none of that in the New Testament other than to sing. And I would think it would be pretty amazing that God just forgot about that. And He did not tell us that. The Scriptures tell us what God desires in worship musically, and that is the fruit of our lips. And again, these instructions never dealt with an instrument. And so, as Paul tells Timothy, we're to handle these Scriptures accurately. We need to determine what the Scriptures say. Verses used that Donnie talked about of our singing. Matthew 20 and verse 30. You don't have to turn to these. So I'll read them. I've got them wrote down. Mark 14 and verse 26. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Again, the idea of singing, what is specified there, a hymn, okay? Acts 16 and verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Of what they were speaking, the prisoners were listening. When you back up to Acts 13 and verse 16 on this, we see this, how this term again is used. When it said, then Paul stood up and motioned with his hand, men of Israel, you who fear God, listen. He says, listen to what I am about to say. And so when he spoke, they understood what he was going to say. In John 8 and verse 43, again, the phrase used from Christ says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you do not listen. Again, the idea of listening and understanding. So it talks about it was Paul and Silas were singing hymns. They were listening. They could understand what Paul and Silas were singing. So you have those two that were singing. You have people that were receiving that. Romans 15 verse 9, for the Gentiles to glorify God for His mercy as it is written, therefore I will give praise to these among the Gentiles. I will sing to thy name. This idea again, of what is being sung and the purpose. They were singing hymns, and it was to give praise. And that's why we sang. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, we dealt with. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the Spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. Again, this idea of our minds must comprehend our heart. We're singing with our heart, our minds. I must sing with the Spirit, and the understanding. I must know what I'm doing, the words that I'm speaking. And those who are listening and doing likewise must also sing with the Spirit and understanding, much like they were to pray. Your prayer is not to be some mumble jumble thing in speaking to God, as so often goes on today. That we should strive in our prayers to pray a prayer that each and all can understand. Again, when you pray, when Larry leads a prayer, yeah, it's for Larry's benefit, praying to God, but it's for your benefit too, that you're listening to what Larry says, you're understanding the words that Larry speaks, and at the end of that prayer, when you say amen, you're giving reference that you understood what he said. And it's the same idea with singing, that we're to sing with the Spirit, and we're to sing with the mind, that we give understanding, that I know what I'm singing about. When I sing the song, how great thou art, that I understand how great God is. When I sing that song and you hear those words to you, you understand the same thing. And when you sing it, that's what you're singing. And so the edification. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each has a song, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, that all things be done for edification. Again, a teaching comes from what? The mouth. The tongue. A revelation is spoken. A revelation is not revealed through the playing of an instrument. Teaching is not done through the playing of an instrument. It's done through the tongue. The speaking. That when we sing a psalm, it's done with the tongue. Ephesians 5:18 and verse 19, we'll skip that, but we have already read that. Colossians 3 and verse 16 that we have read. Hebrews 2 and verse 12. The writer there says, I will proclaim thy name. The idea of proclaiming is speaking. Okay? We looked at sometimes in the Old Testament, the proclamation of something, the gathering together of a group, was proclaimed by the blowing of a trumpet. But again, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing thy praise. This is what they proclaimed. They sang the praise of God in the congregation. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him then let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. There could be no plainer verse in the New Testament of what and how we are to sing. As the writer here in Hebrews talks about, it is to be with the fruit of our lips that we are to speak and give thanks to him, praise and sacrifice. And as Bernice touched upon, James 5 and verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. And so we understand how the word is used to sing, that this solo has reference to that we make melody in our hearts, the plucking upon our mind, our hearts, that we understand what we're doing in our singing to God. If I have any thoughts, when you look at these in each and every instance, the music described or emphasized verbal communication. Each one of those verses that we have read are verses. Verbal communication, singing, speaking, teaching, making melody in your heart, confessing, giving thanks, the fruit of our lips. And God has made that plain enough. One verse would have been sufficient, but he has allowed us several verses. He's given us examples of what he wants in the local assembly, the type of music that he requires. And again, when you look at the very opposite of that, the instruments cannot speak, teach, or admonish, or any of the things that we can do verbally, then we understand that no way musical instruments can provide edification or encouragement in any shape, form, or fashion on that. All authority resides in Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus never taught the disciples to use them. You have no example of that. No apostle ever given instruction to use them, and no church in the Scriptures you have an example of used them. As we mentioned, they were long in existence. They existed since the time of Genesis. But again, they're ignored or not mentioned in the New Testament. And it's for a particular reason that we need to understand that God requires us to worship a certain way. And we looked in this study at certain arguments, if you will, that is made. One of them was the silence of the Scripture, and y'all can hear that God did not say to. We have to realize that God does not deal in negatives. He deals in positives. He tells us what we're to do. Therefore, the positive eliminates the negatives. He don't go, as I think Larry touched upon, build the ark out of gold wood, but don't use maple or pine or cedar. He dealt upon the positive. This is what you are to do. Much like saying, he does not have to go back and say, now don't use instruments. Because a positive command negates the negative, if you will. And just think, now I don't know who touched on it, if all the negatives were put in what we are not to do, how large a volume this would be. But God, again, wants us to use a little bit of common sense. Okay? We understand from anything, Sue and raising her voice, she said, you go out and mow the yard. She didn't have to tell the negatives of that. She gave the positives. Okay? This is what you're to do. Here's the command. You go mow the yard. Okay? She didn't say, now you don't go over the garden and chop this, or you don't do this. And we understand that. And that's what God deals upon, the positive. Therefore, we are to sing and make melody in our hearts. That's the positive. Eliminates everything else. Eliminates all musical instruments or anything else, and we understand that. Again, divine revelations gives bounds, okay? This law, this word that we have revealed, sets bounds about us, what we can do. And again, we understand that. Finally, we can conclude, if you will, based upon the evidence, that to play an instrument of music in the worship of the church is to go beyond the bounds or the authority of the New Testament. It's just simply a self-made man teaching, because it's something that an individual desires to do. And again, that's where the sin begins, is a desire that comes about in your mind. When that desire is there and it's placed into action, it becomes sin, lust. You must first have a desire. And we understand that through the course of time, this is what's taking place. And you just look. A lot of the worship today is based upon just the instruments alone. They just simply play. Again, this idea that God's given me an ability, therefore I can put it forth to use in the church, is wrong. It might be outside, but has no place inside the worship service. And you look at just how far that this has gone as far as the use of instruments of music, what all they're using today, what started out as a simple organ in the 13th century. Look at it today, where it's gone, what all is involved. It's much better to listen to the teaching of the Scripture and just simply follow it. Again, we cannot find no evidence anywhere. Any thoughts from anyone? Okay, thank you.
One thing, in a study I did, I looked at the physical effects of singing. I think everybody's familiar with the name Mel Tillis. He couldn't talk, he stuttered. But he could sing without stuttering. The reason for that is because the brain uses a different part. There's a different part of the brain used for singing than for speech. And I just thought that was interesting in this study I did, that when we sing, there's a physical difference as well. And then you're talking about the aids that you use, like the songbooks. Many of the songs that we use in the church today are written by women. This is an opportunity. People say, you know, that a lot of times women are limited in worship, but some of the most beautiful songs written are written by women. It's an opportunity for our young ladies to write songs, you know, things that can encourage and edify one another.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, I agree that I don't necessarily... We look at they're limited, but they're commanded to teach just in how they are to teach. They are not to usurp the authority, but they're commanded to teach. As husband and wife, they can teach. A woman can teach a man. Okay? But again, the idea of how that is done is what the point is. Anything else from anyone?
I believe that the women teaching their kids at home is the best message they could ever learn.
You had an example of Aquila and Priscilla that taught, a husband and wife that taught. Again, her teaching was there, the influence was there. But again, the manner in which a godly woman is to conduct herself, okay? Amen. Anything else? Okay, thank you.